This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Chad Dotson of the Commonwealth Conservative is able to join us, and he joins us on the long line from his home. Chad, remind me, where are you? Are you in Northern Virginia?
I'm down here in Southwest Virginia, actually, at Wise.
I'm sorry. Way off, wasn't it?
A little bit off, but that's all right.
Well, I'm so glad you could join us. And Chad Dotson, of course, give folks the website. Let's remind them again where you blog.
Sure. It's www.vaconservative.com. And I can't compare it to Kenton, but I'll try my best.
I couldn't believe he wasn't there, because Kenton's usually so good about this. He'll sit by the phone for a half an hour before he's supposed to be on, but he must have forgotten or got held up at school. And I think he's like 16 now, but his blog is incredibly popular.
Oh, I'm telling you, he's, obviously I don't agree with him on many issues, but he's a well-written, well-spoken young man, and bright future ahead of him, real bright young man. Just wish I could move him over a little bit closer to my end of the spectrum on politics.
Well, let's talk about that. Tell me some of the things that I just like to hear. You know, we'll cut right to the chase. Your take on what's going on in the Senate race here in Virginia. And I should tell you that Larry Sabato just today announced his crystal ball predictions. And while he did say that Virginia is a toss up and goes in his toss up category, too close to call. He actually did say that he thought Jim Webb would pull it out and unseat George Allen.
Now, that's an interesting prediction. I try to look at it through as unbiased a lens as I can. Obviously, there's no denying that I am a supporter of George Allen's. I really see George Allen pulling this one out. Now, that said, it's much closer than this race had any right to be, and much closer than any of us expected that it would be. 8 months ago.
Well, isn't that the truth?
Yeah, I didn't see it coming down to, within 3 to 5 points or something like that. I'm expecting a 3-point Allen victory.
Now, most observers, Chad, are saying that it was a combination, that the reason it's so close here in Virginia in the Senate race is because it was a combination of Allen's gaffes, which there was more than one.
Sure.
And sort of an anti-Bush, anti-Iraq war vote that is hurting George Allen. And when you put those two together, you end up with somebody like Webb very close and ahead, even ahead in some of the polls.
Sure.
Which, based on the campaign that he's been running, it's arguably that's amazing, because it's sort of been the non-campaign. He's really hardly been out there.
It is. And, I think that's a really astute analysis. Those are probably the two prongs that I would point to in terms of what's conspired to go wrong against George Allen this year. Jim Webb has run, one of the worst campaigns I think that we've seen in Virginia in a while. It's really been a poorly run campaign. He is sort of a reluctant candidate. He doesn't enjoy being on the stump, clearly. He's not that good on the stump. But it's a terrible year to be a Republican. That's just a fact. And, Senator Allen has run an equally poor campaign, to be quite frank about it, if not more so. Like I said, I'm a big supporter, but it's not been a well-oiled machine at Allen campaign headquarters.
And that isn't that shocking, because of all the guys here in Virginia politics now who we just know run some of the best campaigns, it's George Allen. I mean,
absolutely.
He's so good at that.
He's made his mark by beating some good candidates and really running some really top-notch campaigns, going back to his first race for governor when he was, 30-some-odd points down to Mary Sue Terry, and really ran a really good campaign. This one, it's just been they've not been able to get their traction. And part of that is because the atmosphere as a Republican is not a good atmosphere. You're fighting against some things that in other years Republicans wouldn't have to fight against. But, that's the playing field we're on. And so, his campaign had to step up to the plate, and I think they've gotten their bearings a little bit, but it's not been a typical George Allen campaign.
One of Virginia's most popular and well-read bloggers, Chad Dotson, is our guest on Charlottesville Right Now. The blog is vaconservative.org. The Commonwealth.
.com, excuse me, I don't mean to interrupt you, but it's .com.
.com. Oh, gosh, .com, of course. Where'd I get that? vaconservative.com. Commonwealth Conservative is the blog. Chad Dotson, our guest. Chad, what do you say to, there's a lot of conservatives out there, a lot of Republicans, who are saying, you know what, I look at this party, the leadership of the Republican Party, and they don't really speak for me. Where is fiscal responsibility? Where is a limited federal system? I'm not really seeing that in George Bush and the team of leaders that are running the Republican Party? Where are the core principles of, you know, the of the conservative party?
Sure. Well, readers of my blog will know that, you know, that's something that I've kind of been interested in myself. I'm very, very disappointed in the Republican leadership in Washington with, you know, the congressional Republicans. To just put a not too fine a point on it, what have they done in terms of cutting spending that, you know, Democrats wouldn't have done? They've spent, just as much as the other side would have. Now, for those that say, I'm not going to go, you know, they don't speak for me, so why should I get out and vote for them? I still think that in the long run, what we get with Republican leadership is better than what we would get with Democratic leadership.
So that's really what it comes down to it for you is, hey, they may be doing poorly. I may not agree with everything they're doing, but I'm a conservative, and they're going to better represent me than the Democrats would.
Well, it does sort of come down to that. I'm a loyal Republican, and I'm going to say that. But on the other hand, there is a very compelling argument that on some days I even may make the argument that, you know, doggone it, these Republicans were elected. They swept into office a dozen years ago, and look what they've done. They've not done well in leadership. Maybe they need to be voted out to give them a wake up call. Now, I don't like the idea of handing everything over to the other side just for a wake up call, but maybe that's what this party needs, so that they get back to their roots and what Republicans are supposed to stand for.
Yeah, well, that's certainly, we've interviewed Christine Todd Whitman, former EPA administrator,
right,
former governor of New Jersey, on this program, and she has said that, just matter-of-factly said, you know, where are the conservative principles in this Republican Party, and it may take some time out of power for them to rediscover them and remanifest them in their policies.
That's a compelling argument, you know. One of the worst things that has conspired against the Republican Party is that, frankly, the Democrats over the last decade have been ineffective. They have very few ideas. They've been a very poorly run party, and they haven't really pushed the Republicans to remain true to their commitments. And we've not had to worry for a while about actually the possibility of losing Congress. So maybe that's changing, and maybe the Republicans will become more responsive as a result.
And what do you? And I couldn't agree more with what you just said. And what do you say then to the Democrats who people who believe in those principles? What do you say to them when they look to a party that they feel is just completely ineffectual, may represent them, but just doesn't know how to win anymore?
Well, it's a situation that Republicans found themselves in at various times in history. It must be. And some of the Democrats that I talk to, it's got to be demoralizing to know that, here we've got a great chance at recapturing, these are important elections this year, at recapturing Congress, and you got a party that seems intent on, even going, talking about John Kerry's remarks, for example, recently. You got a party that seems intent on blowing whatever opportunities they have. They had a great chance at knocking off President Bush in 2004, and they couldn't pull that off. So it's got to be frustrating and demoralizing to be a Democrat in many ways, but the Republicans have given them an awful big opportunity this year.
Chad Dotson, our guest, Commonwealth Conservative, that's vaconservative.com. Chad, what was Kerry thinking? Was that just, or is that just Kerry? Because I've read that he doesn't think when he starts speaking.
In some ways, maybe that is just Kerry. I don't know. He wasn't the most eloquent candidate in 2004. But on the other hand, I teach a class here out here at the University of Virginia's College at Wise, and it's a campaigns and elections type class. And some of my students were asking me, and I said, on one hand, it looks like good grief, what in the world could he have been thinking? But I can also see how he was trying to make one of his usual criticisms of the president, and he got mixed up there. Now, I hope he doesn't start making fun of the president anymore about fumbling his words or anything, if that's what he's going to claim his intent was. But
good point.
if his intent was, though, to say the way everybody's taking it, that those who don't have the intelligence and the smarts are the ones that end up joining our armed forces, well, he ought to be roundly condemned, and as he has been.
Right, right. And you would think that any veteran, and he is one, would be smart enough not even to go there. And so I don't think that that's what he had intended to say. It's just on the face of it, why would he say that? Why would he speak out against the troops?
Yeah, I'm not sure that he would intend to say that either. But, boy, it certainly looks awful, and it couldn't come at a worse time for Democrats who are trending pretty well in some close races, but, you know, they are close, and we're down to the wire here. Things like this can really upset the apple cart.
We're talking with Chad Dotson, the Commonwealth Conservative at vaconservative.com. A quick break, and we're back for more. You can join the conversation, folks, at 977-1070. You're listening to Charlottesville Right Now on News Radio 1070 WINA. Chad Dotson is our guest, one of the most well-read political bloggers in the Commonwealth of Virginia. His blog is at vaconservative.com. That's the Commonwealth Conservative. Chad, Steve joins us on the phone. Steve, welcome to the conversation. You're on with Chad Dotson.
Hello, Chad. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you today?
Not too bad. I'm not going to talk about either of the parties. I think I have a general comment. I'm looking for your input on it, that I think this election reflects more where we are as a society of uninformed voters than anything else. You know, earlier Coy was bemoaning the levels of negative campaigns and how much money spent on those versus what would be more of a positive message. And, it, you know, supposedly they're effective, and it only leads one to wonder how many people actually know what are any of the issues that are going on and where the candidates stand on them. I mean, if you have the election or of Jim Webb hinging on the macaca comment by George Allen and some of these other faux pas, which we all look at and have to admit he shot himself in the foot, but ultimately nobody seems to be able to discuss what they're for. They can talk about what they're against, but even that's in a nebulous term. I'm against the war, but if I vote for this guy, it doesn't mean we're going to end the war. So nobody seems to truly understand what's going on, what the issues are, where the candidates stand on that, and who would you blame for that?
Well, you know, all of us are to blame in some way. You know, that's the society we live in. But, and I don't want to sound like the typical Republican whining about the mainstream media, but, you know, when you got the Washington Post devoting, you know, 20-some days and cover stories and article after article on macaca, but not talking at all about the much greater grasp and command of the issues that Senator Allen has over Jim Webb. The fact that Jim Webb doesn't seem interested at all in the issues. The Staunton News Leader endorsement the other day of Senator Allen indicated just that. You know, we got a candidate here in Jim Webb who doesn't even appear to care. He's not that interested in the issues other than Iraq, which you've talked about constantly. But, you know, it's not just here in Virginia. I'm down here in the tip of Virginia, Southwest Virginia, and we're in the media market for Upper East Tennessee, and we're getting all of the ads for the Bob Corker and Harold Ford Senate race over there, and it's even nastier than the one we've got going on here in Virginia. So maybe it does indicate something about our society, but I don't think the media is taking really a leadership role in trying to educate the citizenry, it appears to me anyway.
Hey, Steve, let me just ask you, it's a fantastic question, and I'm so glad you called. What would you recommend? Let's just say you're running the Allen campaign, you're running the Webb campaign. What would you have suggested that they do to try to get a more positive message and to better educate these voters?
I mean, and this is where I have a bias also, and it'll obviously show. But I'm not sure there's anything the Allen campaign could have done. You know, when you look at it and you say, well, if you vote against me, this is what the consequence could be. Well, then you're mean-spirited or you're negative. It's the spin that's attached to whatever the messages are. And if we had people that actually cared, I mean, they're talking about out in Arizona having a lottery so that those people that vote, someone could win $1 million. So we have to incent people to go vote. It's like 20% of the states now let you vote by mail, because it's too much of a hassle to be a citizen and go to the polling booth. So we have to make it real easy for you to get involved. If that's the level people care at, I'm not sure any real substantive message is ever going to resonate, because as long as I've got a job, I don't care about my neighbor or all these other things that go on in their small universe. It's real hard for me to see how anybody truly gives a message that has any meaning to it that somebody's going to sit and listen to.
And that said, we do have to recognize the fact that a lot of people are going to go to the polls on Tuesday because they know they want to see Washington, for example, put more money into stem cell research, into embryonic stem cell research, and that will be that's what they're going to vote on.
But and I don't have a problem with it. It's always going to be, I mean, we bemoan special interest. We all are a special interest. And so any party, any campaign that appeals to me on an issue, I understand that. I think when we frame the Constitution, you know, we're here with Thomas Jefferson. If you asked Tim what they intended for the citizens to be. It was a citizen in a global sense, not just the, well, I care about because I'm a farmer, let's have tariffs on crops coming into this country to protect me. It was supposed to be more than that. It was supposed to be we all have to coexist. We live together in a society. What's in the best interest of the society? And we've so splintered ourselves, we never get anything done. But I'll log off and let you guys talk it up.
Steve, thank you so much for the call. It's a number of fantastic points, and I totally agree with you on Jefferson. I mean, that was the view, and he had hoped that America would set the example that the world would follow, and that, you know, he referred to freedom as a ball that would just roll around the world.
Well, Steve is correct, and I think, you know, and I'm not sure there are any easy answers to this. You know, I've heard people every year, it seems like we get at least one sort of renegade columnist come out and say, I don't want people to go vote. You know, I just want the ones that are informed to go vote. But, you know, what are you informed on? Everybody, I thought the way you put it, that everyone is a special interest. We all have our issues we vote on. We're not necessarily involved with special interest groups, but we all have, you know, little things we vote on, whether it be stem cell research or whether it be abortion or the war in Iraq, whatever.
The marriage amendment. You know, a lot of folks are going to go Tuesday just because they want to vote on that. And while they're there, they might toss in a vote for Allen or Webb or a congressman in their district.
Right, yeah. Whether they know anything that's going on in the race, that's sort of the nature of our system. And I'm not sure there are any easy answers here.
Chad Dotson is our guest, VAConservative.com. Chad, I know that you teach campaigning and politics. What would you have done if you were in the Allen campaign and you had his ear following Makaka, following, you know, when he was still down in Southwest, and you still don't know that it hadn't even exploded yet. Maybe it hadn't, or right after it hit YouTube. What would have been your advice? How should they have played that? You know, your take on that.
Right. Well, the first thing they needed to do was get out in front of the issue. That, you know, the response that the Allen campaign had was, you had the campaign manager come out and make one statement. You had another campaign just come out and make one statement. And there were two or three different stories that were out before we ever had George Allen making his statement on it. I think you need to have a little bit better control from the top there. I think Senator Allen should have come out immediately. I think he should have said, I'll tell you, I was at that event at the Breaks Interstate Park where that happened way back when. And I actually arrived a little bit after those comments. My father was there, though, and heard the comments. And his reaction was, you know, him and nobody that was there really thought anything of it in terms of racial implications, but several people were sort of, you know, uncomfortable with him singling out this gentleman who I had seen that guy at a couple of events earlier in the day, and he was a polite kid. He was there. Everybody knew why he was there. So I think Allen could have jumped out front and said, hey, listen, I apologize for singling this young man out. He's just doing his duty, and I probably shouldn't have done that. But I was trying to make a bigger point here about whatever he wants to, however he wanted to play it. I think the fact they had several different versions come out before there was ever an apology, and it didn't have to be an apology for saying anything
right.
Racial, just an apology for singling out this young man, you know, when he didn't have to, sort of the bully thing. I think he could have done that. I think that would have allowed his opponents would not have been allowed to get the momentum, especially on the internet, to really start making up all kinds of crazy theories about that word.
Right, right.
So I thought that was where they sort of slipped a little bit and allowed things to mushroom.
VAConservative.com, the Commonwealth Conservative. Chad Dotson, thank you, my friend. Let's catch up after the election.
Absolutely. You tell me when. I really enjoyed it.
Look forward to it. Chad Dotson, everybody, one of the most well-read political bloggers in Virginia at VA Conservative.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit cvillepodcast.com for more.